Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to church on rather a wet day. It's been a big change, hasn't it, since over the last few weeks, but probably a very welcome change, a bit cooler, and we certainly need the rain. My name's Kelvin Pittman. I'm one of the members here, and our minister, Richard, is away on a few days' holiday, so hard luck you've got me today. Just like to, it's Anna's birthday today, apparently, and she has been so kind as to bring us a cake. I think there's been quite a few cakes, but you'll learn about the other ones a bit later on. So maybe we'll just give her a clap, a round of applause. Hers is the pink pig, is that correct? Yeah, oh well. So happy birthday to you, Anna. I don't have any other notices, except that if you want to know what's going on, there's this term sheet that's out the back, and it gives you all the very regular meetings and some of the special ones and so on and so forth, right the way through to the end of August. So if you need to know, that's there. And I'd like to offer a very special warm welcome to anybody who's a guest this morning. I can see a couple of faces over there that I suspect are related to Nikki in some way or the other. And if anybody else is a visitor, then and a couple of people at the back there I think I'm not familiar with. So if you're a visitor here, we offer you a very, very warm welcome. I've chosen some very well-known verses as the opening verses. They're from Matthew 22, and this is what they say. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." As we bear that in mind, we've come to love the Lord through our praise and through worship and so on and so forth. So let's just have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come here on this wet day, we just ask that you give us a special blessing, that your Holy Spirit will be here amongst us, that he will lead our thoughts and our minds in the direction that you would want us to go, Lord. So we ask for that very special blessing on today. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. And over to the organ. Just a word about this. The song is, "O God, Our Help in Ages Past." It was written by Isaac Watts, who's obviously a very famous hymn writer. And he wrote it at a time when Queen Anne, who was very much pushing the church, the Anglican Church, the Church of England, and was trying to make any other church of any sort illegal. She called them schisms, and that included the Baptist Church and some of the other churches that are around that were, you know, had recently started because of the Reformation and so on. Today's service is all about false prophets. And she saw Baptists as false prophets. So sometimes you get things wrong, and there are false prophets who aren't false prophets, and there are people who you think are prophets who are false prophets. So that's what we're going to be exploring today. So please stand for the first hymn, which is, "O God, Our Help in Ages Past." Thank you.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Would all the children like to come up here? I've got something to show them. This could be a bit messy, mind you, so I'm putting this out. You can kneel up or whatever. Put it on here, because... Can I just put this over there, like that? That's it. And tuck it down for me, if anybody can tuck it down. Now, we're going to make a cake. Yep, we're going to make a cake. Now, who's good at reading? Can somebody read the recipe for me? Yeah, can you do it? It's Mary Berry's Perfect Victoria Sponge. And it's got some of the instructions here. And it's got the list of ingredients on the back. Now, the problem was, children, my wife and my two daughters were in the kitchen. And it was getting very, very busy in the kitchen. And I thought I would sort of make a cake, but I couldn't get in the kitchen because it was just so busy. So I thought I'd go into the garage and see what I could find in the garage, anything that might help me make a cake. Do you think that was a good idea? No? Oh dear, we might be in trouble then. Let's see what happens. Anyway, I've got all the ingredients here. So there they are. Maybe you can read me. What's the first one? Free-range eggs. Now, that's my bowl. That's what I normally use for sort of emptying the oil out of the car and things. I did try and clean it up as much as I could. Do you think that's all nice and clean?
No.
No? Oh, dear. Not going very well, is it? And how about my spatula? Is that good?
No.
Oh, well, never mind. We'll still try. Let's see. Where do eggs come from? From chickens. And how do chickens, what do they have to do to make the eggs? I know they have to lay them, but they have to eat, don't they? Yeah. They have to push, yes, but they have to eat to... They eat lots of seeds, and then the eggs grow inside them, and then they lay the eggs, don't they? Well, I couldn't find any eggs in the garage, so I thought if I started off with chicken seeds, then maybe in our cake it would turn to eggs. What do you think?
No.
Well, do you want to put those in there for me? That's some seeds. You don't think it's going to work?
No.
Oh, dear. We're really in trouble, aren't we? What's next in our recipe? What does it say? Sugar. I haven't got any sugar. We'll think about that one later. What's next?
Self-raising flour.
Years ago we used to live in Switzerland and I bought a great big bag of, this is sort of a bit like a filler, you know, polyfiller. So I thought maybe a couple, it's white and it's powdery. It looks like flour anyway, so I thought we might put a couple of those in, shall we? See how that goes.
You also need to make it clear.
It has to be clear, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Do you think we've got enough there? Maybe a bit more. Want a nice big cake. There we are. Let's put that there. Okay. What else have we got?
There's bugs.
Is there bugs in there?
Yeah, there's bugs. So there will be bugs.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Well, a bit of meat won't go any. Won't.
Okay.
What else have we got? What's next?
Teaspoons of baking powder.
Teaspoon of baking powder. Well, I haven't got any baking powder. We'll have to think about that one as well. And what's next?
Butter at room temperature plus a little extra to grease the tins.
Okay, well, I couldn't find any butter either, but I have got some engine oil. Should we put that in instead?
No.
Do you think so? It's nice and green. This one's lovely and green. I think it's like Duckham's. If any of you remember Duckham's, it was nice and green. How about that? Do you think that's enough?
No.
No?
No, you need less.
But
yep, loads left.
We've got loads left. Well, I don't need to use it all. Now, would somebody like to give that a bit of a mix? Careful, don't get it all over yourself. It's a bit dry, and we haven't got the sugar, and we haven't got the baking powder, have we?
No.
Ah, I know. Look, Coke has lots of sugar in it, and all the bubbles will make it raise, because baking powder is supposed to make it raise, isn't it? What do you reckon? Eh? No, shall I put some? Put your hands up if you think we ought to put it in. Oh,
no, drink.
Oh well, there we are. Let's put a bit of that in. Give it a good mix. Right. Is it still?
It looks
disgusting.
It
Looks weird. A bit more.
No, that's enough.
That's enough, is it? Right. Okay.
That smells bad.
Does it smell bad?
Yeah. No one should eat that.
What do you think? Would you eat that?
Ew.
Yeah.
Put it in the flour.
Oh, you're going to put it in the tray for us? Yeah, be careful. I don't want to get it all over you, yourselves. Shall I?
Flour.
Be careful. That's it. That'll do. Yeah. Whoops. That's it. And the bugs. Right. So there's our cake. It's all ready to go in the oven. What do you think?
No.
No.
Where's your oven?
Well, there's one in the out the back. We can put it there.
Okay.
Cool. You're holding your nose. Why's that?
It's
yeah. Oh.
Cook it then.
So what went wrong? What went wrong?
Everything.
That's pretty good. I didn't follow the recipe, did I?
No,
I didn't follow the recipe.
Oh, that reminds me of a story.
Yeah.
When, I think it's Joseph and the whale,
Jonah and the whale.
Jonah and the whale. He didn't follow God's rules.
That's right, yeah, and that's what's gone wrong here. I didn't follow the Mary Berry's instructions, did I? She's written some nice instructions, and I just didn't follow them. In the Bible, this is our instruction book, and it tells us how we should live our lives. And we've been particularly looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and that's very good for telling you how to... if you follow the Bible properly, your lives will turn out a bit more like this cake. A bit more like this cake, and it's got a cross on it. And that was Abigail, my granddaughter's. Yeah, there's a few running off. It'll turn out like that, rather than if you follow your own recipe for life, it'll turn out like that. So the moral of the story is, follow God's recipe for your lives, all right? Now, you can have a go. I don't expect you to taste that one, but after the service, you can, together with Anna's birthday cake, you can have some of this as well. There'll be some at the back for you, okay? Well, thank you for helping me. So you can all go back to your seats. And would all the children and their teachers like to go out for and learn a little bit more about how God's recipe works? In the meantime, the music group are going to lead us with some songs.
We're just going to spend some time now, I guess, realigning ourselves with Jesus, ensuring that our thoughts, actions, lives are in tune, not maybe going our own way. So please stand if you wish, or stay seated or stand. Just a chance to get ourselves back in line. So Jesus be the centre. moment we stand just to maybe acknowledge the ways that we haven't followed the recipe, in a sense, that we have pursued our own ways and our own tactics, and sometimes it's worked and sometimes it hasn't. And Lord, we just want to recognize, I guess, our sin and our selfishness this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you cleanse us and you set us free when we say sorry to you. Lord, this morning we just want to align ourselves again, asking that you would be our vision, our future, our source, and what fires us forward. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you provide for us. We thank you for the rain that refreshes us, particularly at the moment after such a long dry period. We thank you for the clothes we wear. We thank you for the food we eat. We thank you for so many blessings. So, Father, we just offer back to you a small token of that which you have given us to be used to your glory and the extension of your kingdom. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. We will try something slightly different for the intercessions today. It'd be nice to open up the intercessions to everybody here. Anybody that wants to pray, please feel welcome to pray out aloud if you want to, or quietly to yourself. I'll start off with a couple of items that perhaps you should know about and we need to pray for. And then I will stop. And please, if you are going to pray, try and pray out as loud as you possibly can. If not, as I say, just pray quietly to yourself. Then after a little while, I'll finish off with the Lord's Prayer. So that's the way we're going to do the intercessions today. Just a few markers. Just think, what might you want to pray for on the international scene? What's happened recently in the news that you think is we should be praying for? Maybe what's national things in our nation that need praying for, local things in the Newbury area, and finally for maybe things you know about within our church fellowship here. So just some pointers to think about when we pray. So I'm going to pray first of all for Rosemary Donkin. She was taken to hospital a couple of days ago and she's been in a pretty critical state. But I understand Jonathan Edwards went to visit her yesterday and he said she's beginning to respond to treatment and beginning to pick up a little bit. But she still is very, very ill. So we'll start off by praying for her. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that your hand is upon the doctors and the nurses who are attending Rosemary at the moment. We understand she's been very ill and She's not a particularly well lady, even at the best of times. So, Father, we just ask that you really are there with her, that you give her peace, that you give her your sense of presence with her over the next coming days. And we just pray, Lord, that the skill of the doctors and the nurses will allow her to fully recover and to be back with us as soon as possible, Lord. In the name of your Son, amen. And now, Father, we just all want to offer up our individual prayers to you, either aloud or quietly to ourselves. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the rain that's pulling us down this morning, but we remember those other places around the world that are fighting fires and people whose homes are under risk and being burnt. And we just really pray that you'll be with the firefighters fighting those fires and keeping safe, that people won't take unnecessary risks and that people's homes will be kept safe.
Okay, Lord, thank you for every step. Thank you for the rain we had this morning. I know it's been lovely, but it's just been a bit hot, Lord. And I thank you for the rain and the comfortable atmosphere we've had.
Amen.
Father God, we pray for those that will be involved in beach missions out over the coming weeks. We pray that as many are away on holiday and perhaps just switch off from the busyness of their lives, that you would be able to speak into those situations. May, Lord, your hope be brought into the minds of holiday makers. We pray for those that are running teams, those that are giving up of their own holidays so that they can serve and bring light to others. May you give them strength and encouragement. Lord, we pray for safety, and we pray that there will be a good time had by those that are involved in each of those missions.
Amen. Father, we want to ask a special blessing upon Nick Clark and Becky Richards as they get married this coming Wednesday. They've been through quite a tussle with one thing and another over the last few months. So we just ask, Lord, that you be in their marriage with them. You be the third person in their marriage to guide them and guard them. And we just pray that the quiet family wedding that they're going to have on Wednesday will be a real blessing to them and to those around them. And now, Father, we want to offer up the prayer that you taught us. Our Heavenly Father, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. And Shirley's going to come and read to us the Bible reading. Hopefully. Yes, there she is. I knew she was here.
The reading is Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 15. A tree and its fruits. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick at grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Again, I tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Shirley. As most of you know, we've been going through various passages in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount. The NIV labels today's passage, as you heard from Shirley, a tree and its fruits. Richard gave me the title on roots and fruit, so take your pick. Our passage today starts off with watch out for false prophets. Prophets come in all sorts of shapes and guises, as you probably know. A week ago, I got a call from a guy that said he was from Microsoft and that my computer had been hacked and were suffering from all sorts of problems. Microsoft would tell you that they never call you out of the blue just like that, so I knew it was a hoax. But I thought I'd just string the guy along a little, basically to waste his time, so hopefully he wouldn't go off and try and hoax somebody else. So I asked him his name and also for a telephone number on which I could call him back. His English didn't sound like it matched the telephone number that he called me to ring back on, which was an English telephone number. And when I looked the telephone number up, I was sort of on the computer at the time and I typed in the telephone number, it turned out to be one of those telephone numbers that redirects you through an English number to any one of a number of foreign countries. So I knew that he wasn't telling the truth. I didn't ring the number, but strung him on a little further as he used several tricks to try and persuade me that there really was a problem with my computer. Very convincing it was too. You know, they get you to type in various things and things come up on your computer and what have you, and it looks very realistic and there was errors coming up and all sorts of things. Anyway, we got to a certain point and I decided I'd call his bluff and told him that I didn't believe anything that he'd been telling me. He then pretended to be very, very hurt that I was calling his integrity into question, and when he was only trying to help me, and he sort of followed on that tack for a little while, and then eventually he realised that I wasn't falling for that either. And indeed, it was him who had been taken for a ride rather than him taking me for a ride. Well, I have to tell you, the language that then came back over the phone was the worst I've ever heard. He obviously was very upset that he'd been hoodwinked rather than the other way round. As we've seen with many false, with my false Microsoft friend, or should I call him a fiend, there are many people out there who are not Christians, but nevertheless try and claim all sorts of insight into truth, whatever that truth might be. I'm not really going to focus on those so much, although we should be obviously on our guard for such things. I should clarify one thing, though, and that's to say that a biblical prophet is not necessarily someone that can tell the future, but rather somebody who claims to speak for God. In the Old Testament, prophecies often started with the phrase, "This is the word of the Lord," or "the Lord says." Of course, it's easy for anyone to say that. Yeah, so it's anybody to say that, and it doesn't necessarily mean to say it's true. I want to, first of all, look at a little clip. Hopefully we've got some sound with it.
Red Riding Hood entered the cottage. She could scarcely recognise her grandmother. Grandmother, your voice sounds so odd. Is something the matter? She asked.
Oh, I just have a bit of a cold.
Squeaked the wolf, adding a cough at the end to prove the point. But grandmother, what big ears you have, said Little Red Riding Hood as she edged closer to the bed.
all the better to hear you with, my dear, replied the wolf.
But, Grandmother, what big eyes you have, said Little Red Riding Hood.
All the better to see you with, my dear, replied the wolf.
But, Grandmother, what big teeth you have, said Little Red Riding Hood, her voice quivering slightly.
All the better to eat you with, my dear,
roared the wolf as he leapt out of bed and began to chase the little girl. Almost too late, Little Red Riding Hood realized that the person in bed was not her grandmother at all, but was in fact the big, bad, hungry wolf.
Well, I think you're all very familiar with that story. But in fact, our passage today, verse 15, tells us, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, or maybe grandma's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. A very familiar story that we all know and beautifully illustrates today's passage. Of course, a wolf tries to take us on the persona of Granny, a friendly, trusted figure. And that's what we're talking about here. What I think our passage today really focuses on are those that claim to be Christians and usually set themselves up as leaders of one sort or another. They can be international, national, local, or just a local opinion leader. One of the most famous international Christians that fell from grace was a guy called Jimmy Bakker. I don't know whether any of you remember him and his wife Tammy quite a few years ago now. He came from a modest background and started in an innocent enough way in the 1970s, gaining praise and recognition for a good Christian puppet show aimed at children. He quickly became more and more famous, got his own TV show that was broadcast on many channels. However, behind the scenes, things were beginning to go awry. Fame and money went to his head, and he was eventually exposed for a variety of sexual and fraudulent activities. He was sentenced to 45 years in prison, which was later reduced to 8 on appeal, of which he served only 4 before being let out on probation. Until the whole thing started to crumble, he was extremely clever at disguising what was going on. Even people like Billy Graham and Jimmy Carter were taken in by him initially. So what's the moral of this story? We all have to be very much on our guards against false prophets. And indeed, we have to be very careful that we ourselves, that's you and me, do not lead others astray. Jimmy Bakker probably started off with very good intentions, but got corrupted by power and money. Billy Graham was well aware of this danger, and so set himself and his team some clear guidelines and put some accountability safeguards in place early on in his ministry. In a Baptist church, the minister is accountable to the deacons, and both the minister and the deacons are accountable to the members. So we must all be ready to exercise that duty if necessary. However, a word of caution. We must be careful to make sure that there are no logs in our own eyes before taking the splinter out of another's eye. So how do we verify or identify false prophets? Verse 20 says, thus by their fruits you will recognize them. Let's see if we can identify some of those telltale signs. Yeah, let's hope this works. Self-promotion. Some of the songs we heard earlier, such as Jesus Be the Center, exalt us to make sure that Jesus really is the center of what we do. Anyone who tends to put themselves at the center of their message is to be treated with caution. Of course, some Christians become very famous, but what is the focus of their message? If it's that, what a great Christian I am, what a great preacher I am, what a great singer I am, or I know best, then we need to be very careful. Popularity. We all like to be liked, and some people have a God-given, naturally attractive charisma. There is nothing wrong in this, but do you remember the greatest commandment I read right at the beginning? Your greatest love should be the Lord your God, and to love your neighbour at least as much as yourself. Indeed, many of God's prophets were hated, as was Jesus and his disciples, as time went on. Disobedience. Of course, we all fall short of the standards Jesus set, and we should not expect our leaders or each other to be perfect. However, when we see someone not admitting that, but always trying to cover up any mistakes, and indeed often going to great lengths to do so, we should again be wary. Here, the Bible is our yardstick. It's our recipe book for life, as we saw with the children. Be careful, though. It's very easy to quote the Bible out of context in order to manipulate it to say what we want it to say. Signs and wonders. Verse 22 clearly warns us that some false prophets will claim to drive out demons and perform miracles. Down the ages, many genuine prophets have indeed done these things. But to whom did they give the glory? To God or themselves? If someone seems to have built their whole ministry on such a thing and then uses them to boost their own popularity and self-importance, then again, we should be very suspicious. Money. Finally, money. We are told a workman is worth his wages. All the way through the Bible, God has emphasized that those who serve him, particularly those in full-time service, should be supported in material and financial ways. This is only right and proper. However, their remuneration should be fair and reasonable, not excessive. Some heroes of the Bible have been fabulously rich, such as King Solomon. People have taken this out of context to suggest that if you're a good Christian, you should be rich. If you're not, there's something wrong. However, there's plenty of examples of the opposite. Jesus certainly was not rich whilst he was on this earth. One of the songs I was thinking of asking the worship team to play was Peace Like a River. The next verse says, love like an ocean and joy like a fountain. Peace, love and joy. My wife teases me about this, but because I've said it to a few people from time to time, but as some of you may know, in my late teens and early 20s, I ran a pretty successful scout troop. The boys obviously enjoyed it, and I hope learnt a lot of life skills. We were only loosely connected to the local church, but several of the boys became Christians. And I like to think via the Christian elements in our programme. I very much enjoyed and got a lot of fun out of it, and also quite a lot of kudos within the local community, considering my young age. As a Christian, I started to worry that the kudos was my main reason for running the Scouts. That concern rather blunted my enthusiasm. And as anyone who's ever worked with youngsters will know, they soon pick up on any leader who's less than enthusiastic. I eventually worked through it and realized that the kudos was not my driving force. So on a personal note, if you have peace and love and joy about what you're doing, don't worry, because it's pretty certain that you're not being a false prophet. Let me summarize. Verse 17 in today's passage says, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and bad tree bad fruit. Then in verse 21 to 23, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. In Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23, it says, but the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Remember, it is only those that do the will of God that will enter the kingdom of God, not those who do their own will, no matter how they dress it up. Hence this key verse, as far as I'm concerned, only he who does the will of the Father in heaven. That's what we should be aiming for. Our final song is a prayer that under God's guidance, we can all help to start to build his kingdom right now.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We see your kingdom fall. We come together before. We have reasons to waste our life for your eternal glory. We see the fact that God saves the hearts of the poor and weak. And we live out our lives on heaven's court. We are your church. We can revive this earth.
And now, to him who is able to keep you from falling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Have a lovely rest of the Sunday and a good week. Thank you.